Okay, so we're in the Hevdil Shlishi, the difference between somebody who's boteach b'Hashem and someone who's not boteach b'Hashem. So the person who's boteach b'Hashem, he doesn't rely on the hishtadlus he's making. He was panosia, but it could apply to any area of your life. He's not relying on the doctor, he's not relying on the panosa, the hishtadlus. That's not what he's relying on. He does that because he has a chiyuv, he has a mitzvah, whatever the chiyuv of hishtadlus is. I'm not going into that now. We have to get that together one day and make seder out of this whole sugya of hishtadlus. It's chashuv to learn the sugya properly about different shittas and how it works. So he's not relying on his hishtadlus. That means he does what he has to do. He sits down, he makes the proper cheshbon, he asks his shalas, he's making the right hishtadlus. Now the panosa comes, it doesn't come, it's a kashrut to the hishtadlus. The kashrut to the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give him what he wants to give him, because that's what was goes on Rosh Hashanah or in other areas, in other different places. But he's not samech on the shatchan, he's not samech on the doctor, he's not samech on the hishtadlus he's making for panosa, because that's not what's bringing it. So therefore, if the status goes well, he thanks Hashem. If it doesn't go well, he thanks Hashem. You don't have to change the status you're making, and that's a difficult one again. Sometimes Hashem wants you to do something else with your life. You have to know that doesn't always work. Sometimes you're doing a certain kind of kiddush Hashem in a certain area. That's where you're making status, and Hashem needs you to go somewhere else. But you might stop, dry up the panacea because he's trying to get your message. He wants you to do something else because he needs you somewhere else. That requires, again, there's not black and white here. Person has to know. But the Ikaron, if the status is not bringing the panacea, then when the panacea comes, you're going to sure you have to change your status. So, somebody asked the Rosh Hashiva whether he should leave Tifrach and go somewhere else because of the war. He said, well, Hashem can't look after you here. He can only look after you there. She never look after you anywhere. If it's a Mokum Sakana, the lot of you have to leave. You have one place not a Mokum Sakana, one place not a Mokum Sakana. One's a little bit more dangerous. Less dangerous, but Hashem can look after you. I can look after you there. Or you think you're going to help Hashem to look after you by moving? You know what I'm saying? That's about Betochen. That's someone who has Betochen. You understand? Hashem looks after me. So Hashem looks after me. He can look after me. I can look after me. Same with Panosa. This Panosa, that Ishtadlus, this Ishtadlus. Why not Kabinas? Not the Ishtadlis that bring the Panosa. So the fact is no Panos got nothing to do with the Ishtadlis. Again, practically you have to sometimes yes, you have to know. That's why you have a Rebbe and you have to ask Shalas. And again, if you're asking at Slocha from your Ishtadlis, don't rely on the Ishtadlis. Be saying thank you to Hashem. How much Ishtadlis can you make? Well, that's the Gemara. No, who was it? Said, my father was wine, the son of wine. I'm vinegar, the son of wine. Why? Because my father could check his fields twice a day, and I can only check them once a day. What kind of a Gemara then? My father's much greater than me because he can go check his properties and whatever twice a day. I can only go once a day. What does that mean? You don't have physical strength? Your father had more koyach because of you? No, he can go check it twice a day. I know there's nothing to do with him. If I go more than once a day, I'm going to start attributing it to my efforts. And that's the pshat there in that Gemara. You have to, again, the hard places, a lot of personal hard work here. Our problem is not in the Vedata Hayoim. Everybody knows the truth. Vedata Hayoim, everybody knows in our heads. It's all from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nobody here believes for one second in his head that his Ishtadlus is making his panos. Not at this age. When you're 15 or 16, but you've been around the block a few times, you know Poshut in your head. That it's not your efforts that are doing anything. You've married off a few kids, you know that it's not the shatchan, it's not your ishtadlus and your phone calls that made the shidduch. The shidduch came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, everybody knows that. Where's the problem? In the Vayashaveisa Levavecho. Our problem is we're not real with it. It hasn't sunk in properly yet. That's why neck up, you can know this is from Hashem, and neck down, you can be shaking from terror. Because that's where the void is. The void is to get it from the Yadata to the Vaisha Levacha. Yashem Walakim Ain Oi. There's nothing else. Isn't anything else in Hashem? We know that. Anybody believes yeah, intellectually that there's anything else other than Hashem? For sure not. But where's the problem? The problem is the Vaisha Levacha. That's where the work is. Okay. So I'm saying that's. Okay. So in continuing on Shin Sadik Dalit. Anybody out there? Hi, Menashe, I didn't even know you were here. I can't see you. Shalom Aleichem. I haven't seen you for ages. Oh, let me look at your face. Wow.
I have
Oh,
been
goodness.
here.
Okay.
I've been here
You
all
have to
along.
come
You
back
just
to Beit Shemesh. Okay. So the top, then Shin Tzadik Dalet, he says like this. Now, what about the guy who doesn't b'tach in Hashem? How does he deal with his yishtadlus? He's Isaac in the panos, not because he has a chiv to do it, and he doesn't understand why he's doing it, but because he trusts the ishtadlis to bring him benefit and to save him from damage. If the shatchan brings the shidduch, he raves about the shatchan. Or the bank manager, or whatever, the panos of the work he does. And he praises the yishtadlis that he invested in. And he praises, he's very proud of himself that he made the right choices. And he doesn't look to anything else. He thinks that his status is dafke because he's a stockbroker. I don't know what that means. Explains here, the Rosh is being matzliach, and the moment he's smiling at him. Because all his that's what made him successful. Instead of putting it in Hashem and praising him. So we know what happens when you put your trust in something else other than Hashem. Hashem takes his way, his Ashkocha, and he leaves you with the thing you trusted. The imaim tzayim shasek bem einu mevim loteles loizavotam umayis bem veinu roitzel asok bemoid. He opens up a business. He normally matzliach. That's it. It's disgusting. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want anything to do with it because it's not a good ishtadlus. So go look for something else. We have to be careful that we have that as well. Again, you have to know when to ask shalas. When sometimes you do have to change. When to cut your losses. The big sugya is lamaisa, but the klalim are very clear. And as one grows and grows in betochen, the problem is not with what he's saying. The problem is our levels of betochen don't always allow this. You have to know, be holding in your betochen. There's always a danger. You have to make enough ishtadlis to know that the ishtadlis are not doing something. But you have to make sure you don't do too much ishtadlis because you start believing in ishtadlis. It's a very fine line. It's not a posh place to go. Thereby Gideon in Shreftim had a milchoma against Amalek. And Amalek came with soldiers. Kachol hayam. How many soldiers is that? A lot of soldiers. So Gideon puts together an army of 30,000 people. 30,000 people against the whole Chinese army. Let's say, just to make it Ilu Baki Ilu, you know, the books, yeah? So you have the entire Chinese military force, a billion people or whatever, and you're going to fight with them, so you take 30,000 soldiers. So if you would win, you would think that maybe that has something to do with all 30,000 soldiers? Probably not. Hashem comes to Gideon and says, what do you do? So many soldiers? No. He gives them a way to reduce it. He reduces down to 10,000. Now you have 10,000 soldiers against the entire Chinese army, yeah? Jim says, no, it's still too much. He tells them, go tell them to drink water. The ones that bend down, the ones that have eaten Vodazara or whatever. Leave me the ones that didn't bow down. They used to bow down to Vodazara. He's left with 300 soldiers, I think. 300 or 3,000. Jim says, okay, now you can go to war. Now you can go to war. What's Pshat? 300 soldiers, why bother going to war? Do like Chizkiyahu HaMelech did, go to sleep. Your Ishtadlis doesn't do anything. She wants you to ishtadlis. What ishtadlis? Ishtadlis that there can be no doubt. No doubt. This is from Hashem. No doubt. That's the message about ishtadlis. Not just in wars, in any area. Don't make too much ishtadlis, because if you start being toily on your ishtadlis, and then you lose the ashgacha. Hashem takes away the ashgacha. That's the scary part of ishtadlis. You start believing in your ishtadlis, Hashem says, okay, fine, so have the ishtadlis. And then you see the ishtadlis is not always so reliable on its own. Okay.
Make a serious ishtadlis, and we know it's not this one.
That's exactly the problem. That's where the fine edge that we walk all the time. Right, or that's another thing. Status becomes an excuse for laziness. Yes, you're not in this area. There were Gedolei Yisrael that would make his status. I'll give you an example. So we have the example. When somebody came to Rav Issa Zalman, she wanted to write a letter for a shidduch or something. I don't know why you're not there. So she took a very that's a good thing. You want Rosh Hashiva to write a letter for him. So this is Alman said, I don't think it's a good shidduch for you, I'm not writing the letter. I don't think it's a good shidduch for you, I'm not writing the letter. God came back. Eventually, came back. This is Alman says, I have the letter here. But I don't want you, I'm still telling you, it's not a good shidduch for you. If you want the letter, you can take the letter, but I don't think it's a good idea. I'm happy to tear up the letter. So his wife asked him afterwards, why did you write the letter? You didn't know the shidduch. He said, I was scared that I had an agia not to write the letter. I was being lazy. I didn't write the letter because then I was saying it's not a good shidduch. So if I wrote the letter, now I can have a look and see if it's a good shidduch or not without the negia of it. I want to write the letter. Okay, that's okay, fine. But again, that level of sensitivity is nothing to do with that. About the principle. Well, just be careful when you're being about the tochen, because you don't want to get out of bed in the morning because you have a tochen. It might have nothing to do with the tochen. It might have something to do with you're a better holic or something. Okay, so. Yes, poor local Sabada. Okay. So, I have the Laravi. Ooh, Shabbat, Kim and Yeshle Oidev, Al Kadeh Machiosu. What happens if you're a Balbatophet and you have more money than you need? Again, how you know what you need and what you don't need? This is if you think you have vested interest anywhere else, suppose the biggest vested interest anybody ever had. You need 10,000 shekels a month to live. And this month, you got 12. So the extra two, what do you do with it? What do you mean? Don't you want to do with it? Not 1 second, not so possible. What does the Baal Batochen do? Who makes the oidev zeh beruach nediva ubelev toiv ledvorim shal yodim yasik sheshem ye murotza mimenu. He takes his extra money with an open heart, with a charitable heart, and he uses them for things that will make Hashem very happy. That's what Hashem wants him to do. From your hand, everything comes and it's given to you. The world isn't enough for him. He could own the whole world. It wouldn't be enough for him. As we explained yesterday. I don't know what that's important, or it has to be that he doesn't feed it. I don't know what the problem is, but he's going to lose it because he doesn't know what to do with it. Everything has to come to him. He never has enough. He's saving and saving and saving and saving. We know people. You need people like this. And then eventually it gets lost. And he's left alone without it. There are those that scatter their wealth, and so their wealth becomes more and more and more. They get more and more. And somebody who keeps holding on to his money doesn't want to give it away, so eventually it shrinks and gets lost. The best marshal I ever heard from Ephraim Waxman is any of you haven't got a nursing mother in your house? Anyone just had a baby recently and your wife's still nursing? Anyway, when she was nursing, what creates the milk? The feeding. The more the baby feeds, the more the milk produces. And the same with Hashem. The more you give away your money, obviously, according to the halachas, we're not asking you to become destitute and have to go beg because you gave away all your money, whatever. They were good only so they couldn't get to sleep at night if there was money in the house. The Klausenberger could not go to bed at night if there was still money in the house. He would send people to go give away the money. Couldn't. Or Finkel's that son as well. That you hide money away from a Pinkus and he wouldn't give it away, so it would be money to pay the rent. He couldn't. So anyone's came to me, needed urgent dental treatment, or whatever, in those days, like 3,000 shekels, a lot of money. Prince took out the money and gave it to him. He came to the prince, asked for a letter. You know, like, I'm like, Sash, you go collect. And he gave me the money. I think it was money that he put away for a shtidok or something. Lo zokhe what the money was. So somebody, his son, somebody said, what are you doing? How could you? He said, if my son comes to me and needs money for dental treatment, I wouldn't pay for the dental treatment. So why is he any different? They had to hide money away. They would use it. You couldn't give me money. You couldn't give me money that wasn't given away straight away. He used to give sherim in America for Rav Tauber. Shal Hebbes, he used to give all these seminars. They did dozens and dozens and dozens of Shabbosim together. And he told me once they did 58 Shabbosim together. And he wouldn't take money for it. Rav Zvil tried lots of different ways to give him money. He once sneaked an envelope into him. The next day, when Pinkus arrived, he bought all the supplies they needed for Shal Hebbes for the next month with that money. He couldn't give him money. But one day, Rav Zvil gets a call from Pinkus. He said, you know what? You offered me money, whatever, and I'll take the salary, whatever. That was $2,000. I'll take it. So Rav Zvil was mamash mispoiled. They thought to himself, he's got a shidduch coming up. He needs the money, whatever. What happened? Someone had come to Pinkus that afternoon. Desperately needed the money. And Pinkus had no way of getting the money. They phoned Rav Zvil and said, I'll take my salary now. Got his salary. He gave it to the guy straight away. And not just with his money, but with his kidney as well. After he was lifter, the family found out from a trusted aide of his that he'd been in America, and he found his wife and said, it's going to be a few weeks late. He got whatever. Why was he a few weeks late? Nobody knew. He donated a kidney. While he was in America, he heard about a kidney and whatever. He was my team, so he donated a kidney. No one knew about it. I heard it from the person who that was at the Shabbos Sheva Brokers yesterday, 2 days ago, my daughter, whatever, it's the pretender's brother, whatever, or for Kim, you know, each other well. But not like I heard the story from, give a kidney, what's the problem? Give money, give a kidney. You had people in the world like that. Okay, he was living with Hashem tight. Paradigm of Mazeh B'Tosen. Okay. Well, we can't do that, but again, we can learn in small areas how to. But that's the difference. When you're a Baal B'tochen, you don't mind giving away your money because you know the more you give, the more you're going to get. Whereas somebody's own B'tochen, you have to keep everything because you know they're safe for a rainy day. And you might have to save for a rainy day. We're not talking about becoming the sugar now. But to Ali, where we are.
You can't do actions like a Baal B'tochen when you're not.
We said that right.
I can't just give away all my money.
No, that's not about B'tochen. That's an idiot. Okay, you're a traitor.
No,
of course not. No. You have to be real, 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 real. That's the most fundamental story here. You have to be real.
It's not a dangerous situation.
What? Like you're going against the loch. It's not the Rotzen Hashem. It's not the Rotzen Hashem. Again, there's one area you're allowed to test Hashem. Not a test Hashem. I put on tefillin and you come to the party, Hashem. There's one area allowed to test Hashem, and that's with maaser, stock, or whatever you want to call it, giving away money. But again, it has to be responsible. It has to be reasonable. Now, I'll tell you what happens is, it's not just with giving away money. It's with all external signs of frumkeit. Is you start pretending that you're frumer than you are, and other areas start suffering. You have external... you do external things of frumkeit. You don't really take that much work. You grow thick, bushy payers. Having thick, bushy payers, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you would suddenly start growing thick, bushy payers, there's no avoiding there. There's no work in that. It's easy. Right? So you start pretending, you start thinking to yourself how frum you are and how you're holding. So then the real avoider that you need to do, you neglect. Because anyway, look how frum I am. There's a danger in being more frum than you really are because you start pretending that you're holding somewhere where you're not. That might be valid as well. Yeah. Doing external things helps you to internalize them as well. Again, but it's a shikulim. But just taking all your money and giving it away because that's what the Torah wants. You're an apitropos. You're a gabbik stuff. You have to be responsible. Part of the chesed is maybe not giving away your money because you know somebody else go learn hilchos stocker before you start giving away your money. Learn hilchos stocker. The Yetzer Hara, whenever we come to do good things, the Yetzer Hara sneaks in and gets us to do good things in a safe way. A Jewish woman has to wear a shaitel. So she's coming to do a Kodesh Kedoshim wearing a shaitel. She wears a trafe shaitel. So the Yetzer Hara knows how to ride on the back of our mitzvahs. So the Yetzer Hara knows that you're going to give stocker anyway. So it gives you give stocker. That's not according to the halacha. There's all Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Stocker. Who do you give to first? How much? When? Where? How? Blah, blah. Stocker, Maisa, Zocher, Satayr. There's three different areas of stocker. And you just give away your money. Because it makes you feel good. You know, it makes you feel good. So, you know, you're with a rachamim on the SPCA, the animals. So you give money to the animals because it makes you feel good. That's how we give stocker. You have to be careful of that as well. He says here, you have to do it in such a way that Hashem's merutza. We want Hashem to be pleasing with us. We want to find favor in Hashem's eyes. So we give stocker, but you're not doing stocker the way Hashem told you to give stocker. Again, so I'm saying, you just throw away your money? No. Saying no might be the way to do stocker. Huh? Saying no might be the best way to do stocker sometimes. If you're a gabbait stocker, let's say you have a gemach. You manage the gemach. Right? So your responsibility is to make sure that the people borrow pay back. If you know that this guy's not going to pay you back, so that the chesed is not to give him the money. Yeah, but he needs the money. So the chesed, why can't you do chesed? Yeah, because I have to do chesed to everyone else that wants to borrow from the gemach. The gemach has to be able to be functioning. If I give everybody money, they never pay back. It's always gemach. Where's the chesed there? Monshtikulim in being chesed. Saying no sometimes is the greatest chesed. You have children? Saying no is the best chesed you can do for your children sometimes. It's not black and white to give away your money. If you are going to give it away, give it to me because I know what to do with it.
All right, Daniel.
All of you.
Hypothetical.
Understand. Hypothetical, yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of alofers. The poor people in your own town come first. So you're giving money somewhere else. You heard about a guy comes from Haifa, he's fundraising. It's not supposed. Not supposed. What do you do in a situation like that? Huh? Family before, yeah. The guy's in your street, the guy's down the road. Let's say you're taking care of your family and whatever. Okay, so there's a locker there. You have a field to. I'm saying. At least, no, but I'm saying again, what you do, I don't know. I'm not going to stop you. But at least you know you have a question. With extra money I've got a question. Is this meant to be given to Achzakos HaTorah? Maybe I should use this to make my wife happy. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of questions here. The wife might be able to get a stop of it. You're taking care of him. And I don't know. I'm saying that's a good challenge to ask. Ramosha Feinstein said, if you ever look at the Negeres Moshe, the fewest shilas that he dealt with Hilchos Stocker. In the Shulchan Aruch, of course, one of the smallest simonim. Why? Because they said nobody ever asked questions at Hilchos Stocker. Because it's my money. I know what to do with my money. Tell me what to do with my money. My money, I know what to do with it. I was once